Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome to On Texas Football. I'm Bobby Burton, your host, joined today by Inside Texas beat reporter Joe Cook. Joe was in Houston on Wednesday, saw Steve Sarkisian twice at the Houston Touchdown Club luncheon on Wednesday afternoon for lunch, and then went to dinner, I think, for the Texas X's in the evening in Houston. Joe, how you doing, man?
I'm good. I've been burning up the miles, so ready to sleep in my own bed for a little bit.
Tell us your takeaway from those two meetings with Sark and a group of people the last day or so.
Yeah, so it's not just those two in Houston yesterday. I saw the one in Dallas last week as well, the Texas X's event. So I heard the spiel a handful of times, both from Steve Sarkisian, also Chris Del Conte. In Houston, they had Vic Schaefer, and in Dallas, they had Chris Beard. So I've heard everybody's spiel. One thing that Steve Sarkisian made sure to reiterate a lot is that when he took the job last year, there were COVID restrictions, and there was also construction in the south end zone. So they had to do a lot of temporary facilitating and meeting and stuff like that. Didn't really lend to team building. And so one of the things he admitted he failed at, he wasn't making an excuse, he said, I flat out failed, was in making, you know, building the bonds between the team, because they were having position meetings in suites and having the big meetings in deck chairs on, not deck chairs, but poker chairs in the eighth floor club. His office was in where all the other athletic department offices are in Belmont, instead of, you know, right outside the locker room in the south end zone. So he reiterated that there were times when, and he did kind of make some qualifications to make it sound better, good for him. He said things like, when we had leads against three top 10 teams that we surrendered, which, okay, good for you. But he said there wasn't a lot of, you know, looking to the left, looking to the right, playing for your brother, because they hadn't built the camaraderie needed throughout that offseason. And he said one of the big things that he's had this year, his big goals throughout this offseason, was to make sure that there was more camaraderie, the team was closer together. And it sounds like that's been the case. We've written on Inside Texas about, you know, those position drafts. I think you talked about it with, not position drafts, but kind of workout group drafts. You talked about it with Eric last time. That helps. It really builds accountability because it shows who is doing well and who isn't doing well. And by coaching returns, by player returns that we had throughout the spring, it sounds like in that area, Steve Sarkisian's made a marked improvement. I guess one other thing to note that just off the top of my head is, you know, we've kind of called Roschon Johnson the likely leader. It was nice to hear Steve Sarkisian come out and just flat out say it, like, that's our locker room leader. We all knew that. We all knew that was the case. He also touched a lot about name, image, and likeness. Of course, fans are going to want to know exactly what the head coach and the athletic director thinks. He basically had a really good refrain, and I don't blame him at all. Talking about Bijan Robinson, he got that Lamborghini deal, and he said, you know, that's what NIL is kind of supposed to be about. It's supposed to be the best players getting the opportunity to make money off their name, image, and likeness. Bijan Robinson's a Heisman candidate. He's a top two, likely top one back in the country. It makes sense that he's able to get nice things as a result of all the hard work he's done, but he would go on to consistently say, like, hey, it isn't just the football that makes this guy great. He's a better person off the field. And so he did a lot of pots of storytelling throughout the course of these trips that he's made in order to, I guess, reassure fans that hey, the NIL is something that's going to help Texas. There's some things that he obviously can't talk about as far as that goes, but he was very encouraged and painted it all in a positive slant whenever he had the opportunity to talk about it.
Talking about one of the things, I have a couple of tidbits here I want to go over and get your take on it. He mentioned Ajai Hall by name. He was allowed to do that, I believe, because Ajai has signed his letter of intent, so to speak, or his financial aid agreement,
excuse me. Right, yeah.
And so he can at least say that. Give people an update on the Ajai Hall, the wide receiver from Alabama, and who is a transfer expected to Texas.
So I forget when he decided to announce his transfer, but announced it, I think, about a month ago, something like that. And since then, somebody the other day noticed that, oh, Ajai Hall doesn't have anything Texas related on his social media, or his social media has been wiped. And some people who don't understand how college football rosters work, that you can't be on a roster until you're enrolled in a program, noted, oh, he's not on the roster. He never was in the first place. Like you mentioned, someone asked about kind of shows, you know, a little bit about the crowd. Someone asked Steve Sarkisian, are we getting Ajai Hall and Jordan Addison? And he kind of just, you know, he can't mention them by name. He could mention Hall by name because he signed a financial aid agreement. What that is it binds the school to the player. So if Ajai Hall comes to Texas, Texas is bound to pay him the financial aid, the scholarship that they agreed to. Does not necessarily mean that Ajai Hall has to go to Texas. It's not a letter of intent, but Steve Sarkisian mentioned that, hey, we feel really good about that. And he also hinted that maybe some of that social media wipe was Texas's idea. He didn't really expand on that. Doesn't make a ton of sense, but, you know, whatever floats their boat. Didn't sound concerned at all about Ajai Hall. And I think one thing that it's starting to resonate with me is there's a reason they went after him, even though, yeah, of course, five-star player, some red flags, obviously, with considering his past, but Texas lost three wide receivers. And so it wasn't about just building riches, as I think a lot of people want it to be, but it was about amassing depth because they lost DeJuan Harrison, Kelvonte Dixon, Marcus Washington in the span of a few days. Now, yeah, we know the reason they're going after him is not exactly depth, but to get the best players possible. But that was one of the reasons that he listed and said he felt good about Ajai Hall coming to Texas still.
He say anything that caught your attention about Jordan Addison, the Biletnikoff Award winner?
At least in Dallas, he reiterated what I just mentioned. Like, I'm going to try and make my team as good as it possibly can in order to win as soon as we possibly can. I don't think he's worried, at least publicly with his statements, about a setup year or anything like that. He's talked about, you know, wanting to win now. The other thing that a little bit outside of Addison that he was asked about is the other recruitment that everybody's concerned about as a Texas fan. And of course, he can't comment specifically on Arch Manning, but I'll give credit to Anwar for asking a good question that got a good answer. Anwar Richardson, he said, you know, when do you maybe decide to, with how quarterback recruiting is, decide to go another direction or try something else? And I put this in my article on Inside Texas Today. So we're going to be patient. We're going to believe that our process and our track record is going to help us in these recruitments. And you mentioned, you know, if I wanted a quarterback committed today, I could get a quarterback committed today, but he's going after the best of the best. You know, he's a five-star plus consensus number one prospect. And he basically said, I'm pursuing Arch Manning until I can't, without saying I'm pursuing Arch Manning until I can't.
Some people talked to me and told me that he had a great energy at the luncheon in Houston, really kind of a aggressive, okay, let's go after it type of situation compared to maybe what he had more reserved in Dallas, Fort Worth, or even San Antonio. That's coming off of, he also said something very, very, very funny because it was mentioned that Fox may be picking up the Texas OU game and placing it at their big noon kickoff, which actually is 11 o'clock Central Time. And somebody asked him a question about that. What was his exact response? Because I thought it was kind of funny.
Basically said, roll the ball out. We'll play at any time. And, you know, good response. It's one of the things I've been going back to is it's hot in Texas. It's hot in Alabama. It's going to be hot for everybody on that field. One thing Sarkisian's reiterated over the course of the past year or so is they're a morning practice team. I think Tom Herman was an evening to late afternoon practice team. They're different under Steve Sarkisian. So he's kind of been saying, hey, I'm cool with morning games. It allows me to go ahead and, you know, stay within our typical routine. And then he's able to recruit after and talk to recruits. And there's going to be a ton during that Alabama game. You and I know very well. So I think, and I've made this point plenty recently, there are fan bases, Texas included, LSU, I think being another one that, you know, it's their God-given right to play under the lights. And of course, weather is a big factor in that. I understand that completely, but this is about what Fox wants to do to get 10 million viewers instead of worrying about the 100,000 in the stadium. And that's just the way that college football has moved. Big Noon Saturday has gotten big ratings, as I pointed out on Inside Texas about saying why they would want to do that. It's not official. It hasn't been official yet, but if Joel Klatt's going, if it's on Fox, if it's Alabama, they're not going to abandon their branding just for one time. And also they've got an Astros game to air on the broadcast channel later in the day too. So it's not official, but just get ready for 11 a.m. And sounds like Steve Sarkisian's ready for it no matter what time they announce.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Looking at it, you also mentioned and touched on this in your article about the 16-hour rule. They get 2 hours each week over an 8-week period to meet with quarterbacks, linemen, whoever they want to. The coaches do basically each position across the team. Somebody talked to Sarkisian about that or got some clarification. What was his response, and try to articulate that as best as you can?
So he kind of talked about the process the NCAA has had over, I don't know how long. Again, at Touchdown Club, there were a few former lettermen in the room. Mattress Mac was in the room, spoke a little bit about NIL, which is pretty funny. But he said, you know, at one point, and I probably have the order wrong, used to everybody went home for the summer, you know, and show up in August and say, all right, welcome back to school, time for camp. Then the NCAA said that they could pay for summer school. And then they said that you could work out during summer school. And then you could have film study in meetings. And now they've announced that, I think they put it in a couple of years ago and it's going into effect right now, that you can have 2 hours per week. In addition to the 2 hours of meetings per week, you can have 2 hours per week of on-field skill work with a ball. And I think no pads, but used to it was just like workouts, no ball was allowed and no assistants were allowed. Now it's there are assistants involved, there's a ball. It's basically just kind of sounds like touch football, 7-on-7, what we see in those recruiting camps all the time, that type of football. And I think a lot of people's vision about that has been as far as, you know, the linemen and getting the linemen ready. Only Cole Hudson was the only early enrollee, a lot of expectations for Kelvin Banks and Devon Campbell and Neto Umeo-Zulu, that, you know, one of those three, maybe even more, are going to come in and compete to play right away. And that, okay, these 2 hours are going to be big for them. 2 hours a week, 16 hours total are going to be big for them. What Sarkisian mentioned, and I can't believe I hadn't thought about this, was, hey, you know, this will help give me, what, 2/3 of a day, which is more than they had, that much data as far as Hudson Card and Quinn Ewers and Malik Murphy. And he admitted kind of in a more direct sense at the Touchdown Club, like, you know, I'm like you all, the sooner I can make that decision, the better for everybody. the better for you. So you got crap to talk about while chopping it up, like at the water cooler. And the better for our team, we got to behoove ourselves to make that happen. So he's definitely going to use those 16 hours in the summer as additional data in order to determine, you know, okay, I've seen this. Am I seeing a grasping of the offense? Am I seeing good throws? Of course, it's not real football. It, you know, that's played in pads with a helmet with five in front of you and 11 coming after you. So it's a little bit different than that, but it's just additional data, and it's going to help in several different position battles. One thing I do wonder about is, you know, we're used to workouts, and there have been times during the course of an off season where you hear about someone having a non-contact injury. Unfortunately, I hope that doesn't happen, but I do wonder, not just at Texas, but just across college football, if now that they have this basically extra 16 hours of practice time, if you go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you get to basically you have a week of practice, 2 weeks of practice ish spread throughout the summer. I kind of wonder, are we going to see maybe some injuries that normally wouldn't pop up in the summer begin to pop up? But hopefully it never comes to that for any school. And hopefully all that happens is all these different schools are able to get additional practice time, get additional data, and better prepare for the upcoming season. I mean, pros have OTAs, and that kind of sounds a little bit similar to that.
Yeah, I think that if I'm looking at it, you know, what's worse is a harder conditioning period. You know, we've in the middle of summer, that's not necessarily better for an athlete. You know, sometimes it's better to actually work out with the ball on the field. I think it's funny, though. I will say this, it's one of those rules that makes me laugh. You can't have a ball on the field. Well, you can do everything else, but why wouldn't you be able to have a ball on the field? I mean, I think, no offense to the UIL, but they have something similar to that, like that in the state high school associations, not just in Texas, but around the, and I understand the thought process behind it, but in reality, it doesn't work that way. They're working them just as hard, if not harder, without a football. Yeah. And so I find it's one of those rules that just doesn't fit. It's almost like that. Try as hard as you can to make NIL exactly the way you want NIL to be. You're not going to be able to do that, or with a ball in your hand. I mean, it's one of those that just seems like a superfluous rule in the first part. Anything else you want to add overall on Sark and what you saw from him over the last couple of weeks?
He's a good public speaker. Certainly, I think everybody believes he's likable. And that's even after a 5-7 season. Like I think he's still throughout the fan base has a good amount of goodwill towards him, just because he doesn't deflect. He's pretty honest. He has a good demeanor. I think there's still a lot of goodwill towards Sarkisian. The one curious thing was, this was asked in San Antonio and Fort Worth, two stops I missed, but I didn't think there were very many questions about like the defense, which was a little bit odd. Maybe, you know, if you're going to these types of events, you're mostly supportive, I'd say, instead of overly critical. No one wants to be the person pissing in the punch bowl at these types of things, I suppose. But the one thing that stood out to me, at least on Monday, was he was asked about getting physically overmatched in late portions of the game, surrendering those leads. And he really, I don't want to say he pushed back, but he didn't really think it was a physical thing. He thought it was just that mental aspect of it. So I think we had heard throughout the off season that there were some tweaks to the strength and conditioning program. And it's not like these guys are dummies. You know, they have the latest and greatest technology. He talked about that, you know, testing hamstrings and testing calves and all different sorts of things. So I think he just really emphasizes that, hey, we just had to be mentally tougher and we weren't last year. And that was something that I messed up. And
yeah, he said in the first three quarters, we fit the run perfectly. And in the fourth quarter, we didn't. And, you know, look, there's something to be said about being a mentally weak team and giving up those leads. I think anybody that undergoes a 6-game losing streak, like they did, probably has some issues in that category, and they reared their ugly head at the wrong time. Anyways, Joe, I appreciate you. You're the one that's on the road, seeing the coach, talking to him, hearing what he has to say. I know the fans here, appreciate it. The readers of Inside Texas, definitely, appreciate your contributions on a daily basis as well. For Joe Cook, I'm Bobby Burton. Thanks for watching On Texas Football.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.